Our fifth reading before the morning's lesson will be out of Mark 4, 37 through 40. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?"
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. Always thankful for that. You're welcome back at any and every opportunity. It's so good to see so many young people in the audience. We're so thankful for our Bible class teachers. So very thankful for them and their commitment to that. And it's quite a blessing to see all the young people. What a blessing that is. You know, there are many storms in life, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 4 if you'd like to turn your Bibles over there. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be spending our time as we find a storm that happened. And really, we're just going to be using the storm as really a picture for our lives, because we all know that we face the storms of life. You know, when Jesus was out making disciples and people were following him, one of the great things about Jesus is he did not really sugarcoat the road that he was leading, the road that he was living, the example that he set, and the life that he would want his followers to go behind. There are many warnings, there's many things that are stated in relation to perhaps the hardships that come sometimes with the Christian life, but really, just the hardships of life in general. When I think about the storms of life, I think of many of those physical things that can happen to us. And if you live long enough, some of these storms are going to hit your life. Problems in relation to the loss of loved ones. You'll be hit with that storm in your life. You think of disease and sickness. You'll be hit with that at some point in your life. And then there's just more general things that happen to us. Disasters, things that happen. There are a lot of storms when it comes to this life. And what I'm encouraging you today is if we know that storms are going to come, death, disease, disaster. If we know these storms are going to come in the life which we're living, as we get on our vessel and we start sailing across life to get to the other shore, don't you want Jesus with you? You know, if you think of your life as a boat, as we're all in that boat, we're traveling to the other side, that other side when we die. And certainly, once we get across to the other side, I want for sure Jesus to be in my boat. But there's something to be said that when our vessel is going through life, when we encounter death, when we encounter disease, when we encounter disasters, when we encounter struggles and tribulations and trials and adversity, isn't there something to be said that Jesus is in your boat? Certainly, when we get to the end of this life, I want Jesus there with me. I want Him to be with me as I cross over from death into the next life. He's the only one that I want with me in the terms of the protection that He provides, His grace, His mercy, His care. But there's something to be said of traveling with Jesus throughout life. It's as you are sailing and as you're on this vessel traveling throughout life, there's something to be said, is Jesus with you? Because I think He can help us in the physical storm. Are we holding to God's unchanging hand? We are certainly going to face trials and tribulations, and we can get through many of these if we make sure that Jesus is on the boat as we travel through life. But I fear that many times what happens is Jesus has forgotten about on our boat as Christians. Or perhaps we didn't even invite Him onto our boat as we go throughout life. Is Jesus on your boat today as you're going through a storm at some point? There's some here among us, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are going through storms right now. It'd be foolish for us to think something otherwise. Somebody, a brother or sister in Christ, is going through a storm right now. And you say, well, I'm not going through a storm right now. Well, guess what? You stay on that boat long enough, there's another storm coming. Death, disease, disaster. It is just part of life. In fact, in Job it says, man's days are few and full of trouble. We certainly understand the problems of life. Let's get into Mark chapter 4, and we're going to see the problem, we're going to see the power of God, and certainly we're going to see really some questions that God is asking His followers that I think are applicable to us. Let's look first at the problem. Chapter 4, verses 35 through 37 there, it says, on the same day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. And the other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. You know, once again, if you think about your boat, your vessel of life, you're traveling through life. And where are you traveling? You're traveling the other side. The other side is death. But there's something to be said, is Jesus in your boat when the problems come? If the problems are going to come, death, disease, disaster, these are things that are going to happen. Are you ready to face your problems with Jesus in your boat? Or have you forgotten that Jesus is there? Because it appears almost that Jesus is almost forgotten about for a period of time. But as we look at verse 35 there, we are on our own journey to the other side. And as we are traveling to the other side, we are going to encounter storms, we're going to encounter adversities, we're going to encounter problems. And the question is how are we going to handle these problems when we face them? There's a businessman that once said, he says, as you grow your business, he says, every problem that you solve will immediately be solved with a bigger problem if you're growing. And there's probably some truth to that. And I think as we travel throughout our lives, as we try to grow as Christians, as we try to better ourselves, as each and every day we're trying to be better, we are going to face bigger and bigger problems. There's no shortage of problems on the sea of life. There's no shortage of problems as we travel throughout life. And certainly we are crossing over to the other side. Verse 36, it says, now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was. You know, I found that phrasing to be so interesting. They have a boat, and they're taking Jesus, and it says they're taking Jesus as He was. Let me tell you, there's no other way you can take Jesus. If you want to take Jesus in your boat, if you want Jesus in your boat as you go across and you go through life to the other side, you've got to take Jesus as He is, not as you want Him to be. It says Jesus came as He was. You know, you think of that. You know, a lot of times people say, you know what, I want Jesus on my boat, but Jesus, I don't want you to ever question me. You know, Jesus, I want you on my boat, but I don't want you to say anything. Jesus, I want you on my boat, but I don't want you to change my life. In fact, I'm not going to change my life at all. Jesus, if He's going to be on your boat, in your life, as you're traveling through life, Jesus is going to come as He is. And Jesus is not going to change. The change has to come from us. We should not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. How will our mind be renewed? By the words of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to go on this journey throughout life, and there's going to be some unpredictable storms that are going to pop up, I want Jesus with me. But if He's going to come with you, He's going to come as He is, not as you want Him to be. Are you sailing with the Lord throughout life? Are you going to the other side of this life? Are you going to the other side of this life by yourself? That's a scary thought, is it not? To realize you're traveling and you know that the other side is death. You know death's coming. We all know that death is coming. It's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. What a thing to think about, that we are traveling throughout life and we haven't welcomed Jesus onto our boat. We said, Jesus, no, you just stay there on the shore. I know I'm going throughout life, and I know I'm going to cross over to the other side. I know that death is coming, but Jesus, I'm not going to welcome you onto my boat. Is Jesus on your boat? Have you welcomed Jesus on board? Jesus will come as He is, or He won't come at all. In reality, we realize that God doesn't need us. We need God, and we need Him so desperately in the storms that we face in life. Jesus is not changing, but He's not far from any of us, as it says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27. That's what Paul says when he's on Mars Hill there, the Athenians. He says, God's not far from any of us. God will come on. Jesus will come on to your boat, but you have to welcome him. You know, you think of the storms of life. These people, they're traveling to the other side. And for us, I think it's that idea that we're traveling through life to the other side of death. We're traveling through life. And certainly we want Jesus on board. But you know what? When you're traveling through life, there are some storms that are unpredictable. And you know what? I would suggest that there are some storms that are predictable. Sometimes we make up storms for ourselves. And I think that's unfortunate. Sometimes we sow things that we shouldn't be sowing, and then a few weeks later we realize, oh, we're in a world of hurt, and we get it to ourselves. But you know what? A lot of times storms are unpredictable, but we know they're coming. You know, you think about that. There's a lot of storms in life. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, it says that the sun will rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, there's a lot of storms that will come and hit us throughout life. And storms will hit Christians and people of the world alike. You know, you think of Ukraine. You know, you think of everything that's going on there right now. That's a storm, is it not? A disaster. I mean, it's a storm. No doubt about that. It's a storm. And are Christians and non-Christians alike being affected by that storm? I can tell you, if I was in Ukraine right now, I might have Jesus in my boat. I don't know what kind of storms are going to hit you. I don't know if it's going to be death. I don't know if it's going to be disease. I don't know if it's going to be disaster. I don't know where that storm's coming from. I don't know if it's coming from behind you, from the left, from the right, from the front. I don't know where the storms are coming. But if a storm is coming, we know storms are coming, I want to have Jesus on my boat. I want to have him on my ship. And if he's going to come, he's going to come as he is. But we're going to face problems and trials throughout our lives. I want Jesus there. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 34 and 35, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." Is Jesus number one in your life? Have you welcomed him onto your boat? If you start welcoming Jesus onto your boat, if you acknowledge that he's on your boat, you understand there are certain things that you can let go. If God is your number one priority, I'm not saying that these things won't affect us, but you know what? When it comes to death, Jesus on my boat, how does that affect my perception of death? As I'm sailing through life, and Jesus is on my boat, and I know that I'm going to get off here, does it help that Jesus is on my boat? Yes, it does. It helps me. When I face disease, and I face trials throughout life, does it help me that Jesus is on my boat? Yes, it does. When disaster strikes, family, friends, country, it helps that Jesus is on your boat. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Is Jesus on your boat when we face the problems of life? Because what we're going to see in verses 38 and 39 is we see the power of Jesus and what he can do to many of the problems that we face. We know that we're imperfect and we don't handle things a lot of the ways that we should. In fact, I think that's an accusation that Jesus is going to bring up to some of his followers here in verse 40. I think he's kind of making an accusation that you didn't handle this physical storm perhaps the way that you should. And perhaps there's a lesson here for us. But let's see the power. The problem we see, it's the great windstorm. It arose and the waves beat against the boat that it was, so it was already being filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." We are going to be facing problems throughout life. You have Jesus on your boat, because if Jesus is on your boat, you know what he can do? He can help to bring peace into the storms of life. I'm not saying that God is necessarily going to eliminate all things. I think because many times we're imperfect, and I think that's actually the accusation that he's going to make here in a few verses. But Jesus has power to bring peace to our lives. When it comes to death, which we know that we will all face, and we know that Jesus is with us, does that not help us with death? Can that not bring us a peace? When we face disease and we face things in our lives, does it not help that Jesus on our boat? Can he not help bring us peace? When we face disasters in this life that are unexpected and terrible in many ways, does it not help us that Jesus is in our boat and that He can bring peace? We see the power of God. God is awoken. We see Christ is awoken. And what does He do? He just goes, "Peace, be still." You understand that that's what Jesus is trying to bring into your life? He's trying to bring some peace into your life, but many times He won't let Him. Many times we let Him sleep in the bottom of the boat. We won't wake Jesus up. We try to bear the problems of the world alone. When death comes, when disease comes, when trials come, when tribulations come, when adversity comes, we just seek Jesus and say, "Jesus, can you help?" He can bring peace to your life. He can bring peace to the storms of life. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requesting known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, for a Christian, which actually I don't know about everybody else, but the week leading up to me becoming a Christian, I had trouble sleeping. I had a lot of trouble sleeping the week leading up to me becoming a Christian. I knew what I should do based off what the Bible says, and for whatever reason, which I could certainly go into detail another time, I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I could not sleep. You know, when I was buried in the watery grave of baptism, I came up, I went to sleep that night, peace. You know, Jesus can bring peace into your life. There's a lot of things that we're going to face that are out of our control. There's a lot of storms that are going to pop up in our lives unexpected, but does it not help that Jesus is in our boat? We're children of God. We're Christians. When we go to God and seek that help, and in Psalm 27 verse 1, it says, "The Lord is the light, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, interestingly enough, the charge is going to be brought up here to the people that are with him about fear. And what does it say here in Psalm 27, verse 1? It says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, you look at Jesus, they're going through this storm. Jesus is asleep. And you know what? If Jesus is in your boat, I think that many times, not that we want to be disengaged from anything that's going on in the world, but a Christian can be at peace. If Jesus is on your boat, could you not be at peace? You know what? I think many times Christians forget that, is that we're traveling throughout life, Jesus is on our boat, He offers peace, but we don't take Him up on that peace that He offers. In the storms of life, how should a Christian act? How should a Christian conduct themselves? And I know that we're imperfect and we fall short in many ways. And I think Jesus is actually going to say that these people are falling short in some ways in relation to their faith. How do we act in the storms of life? We understand that God has so much control over all these physical things that God can bring calm to our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is in our boat, what trial, what tribulation, what adversity can we not face?" Can we as a Christian face death itself? Can we as Christians face any disease that comes? And we as Christians, can we not face any disaster that comes our way? I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect in these things, but Jesus is on our boat. Why do we fear? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Many times, I think we reflect on how weak we really are. Our strength comes from God. God can give us a protection, a peace that is not understood by the world. God can strengthen us. You know, you just imagine this picture. This boat is out there, and they've got all the waves and all the storm, and it's all around them. And I'm sure they are frantic running around, trying to get the water out of the boat, trying to do everything they can to keep that boat on the water, just trying to keep it up. And they've got Jesus, who's sleeping. It's almost like Jesus is the last resort. Is it not? A lot of times, God, unfortunately, I think, is a Christian's last resort. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to do everything that's in our power when we go throughout life. But certainly I think that many times that's a picture of what happens many times in a Christian's life, is God is our last resort. He's not our first resort. He's not who we consider first. He's who we consider last. Do you understand that God can help you with many of the things that you struggle with? Many of the things that keep you up at night? Many of the things that you worry about? You know, the Bible talks about worry. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, I've got a 6'5 brother and a 6'6 brother, and they all thought I was going to be tall. They played me at center all through high school pretty much, because they're like, you're going to get a growth spurt, you just wait. You just wait. You know, over time, you know, my sophomore year, I'm like, well, am I going to grow? Am I going to grow? Junior year, am I going to grow? Did worrying change my height at all? No, it did not. There's many things that perhaps a Christian worries about that we have no control over, that we should leave at the feet of God. In fact, I think that's what God encourages us to do in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Is Jesus on your boat or not? And if he's on your boat, why aren't we utilizing Jesus when it comes to death, when it comes to disease, when it comes to disaster, those struggles that we know will come and we will face? Do we ask God to help us in the time of storm? We try to carry it all alone. In Psalm 121 and verse 2, it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We see the problem, but we see the power of God. God can bring peace where the world says there can't be peace. God can take away worry where the world says there should be worry. God can bring peace to your life. Now let's see this rebuke that comes up. So they wake the teacher up. They wake Jesus up. Verse 39, he says, peace be still. Now look at these words. These words have had me thinking all week. It says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Verse 40, it says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And man, I thought about that a lot this week. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? God is rebuking something here, is he not? And I think perhaps this might get a little bit to it. Do you trust God? God is on your boat. If you're a Christian and you're going throughout life, you understand that God is on your boat. Do you understand that you can trust God when problems come, when trials come, when adversities come, when disasters come, when these things, these problems of life, these storms come? Can we not trust in God? You know, the world turns to the world. Sometimes people turn to a bottle, do they not? Sometimes people will turn to certain medications, will they not? But will they turn to God? Do we turn to God in the storms of life? God has power, we understand. We look at the creation, we see His power. We see His invisible attributes that are clearly seen, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. He has the power that raised Jesus from the dead, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. But we look at these words. It looks like there's a connection between fear and faith. Let's read it again. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Is Jesus making a correlation here between faith and fear? That is what I've been thinking about all week. Is Jesus not making a connection here between faith and fear? Perhaps the more faith we have, the less fears we'll have. Perhaps the more faith, fear we have, the less faith we have. Do you understand who's on your boat? Do you understand the power that God has? Do you understand what God wants to do for your life? It's when you face death, does God want you to have fear, or does He want you to have faith? When you face disease, which you surely will, does He want you to show fear, or does He want you to show faith? When we face disasters in life, does He want to see fear, or does He want to see faith? There's a connection there. And can you imagine on the boat, after you went from such a horrible situation with all the wind, the waves, the storm, and all of a sudden Jesus gets up He says, peace be still, everything's calm, and he turns and he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Is there a connection there between fear and faith? I think there is. He says, Kyle, how do I grow my faith? Well, I think Romans chapter 10, verse 17 would be a start. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. The more we study this book, the more we see the pictures and the stories that we believe to be true, and we see all of them, you know? I know in the Tuesday class, I keep mentioning Hezekiah. He's been on my mind. Hezekiah and 185,000. Hezekiah surrounded by 185,000. And how many angels does it take? Just one. The God that intervened on Hezekiah's behalf is the same God that we serve. We think about Jericho and the walls coming down. That is the God that we serve. A God that is powerful. A God that created all things. My helper is God who created heaven and earth. And it's not that all things are going to work out in the way that we expect them to, but all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I'm not saying that you think, oh, God is going to deliver me in this way. That's not what the Bible promises. The Bible promises that everything's going to work out, that you might go throughout this life, you might face every storm that there is, but when you get to the end of this life, you'll have a home with Jesus. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, the psalmist there, Psalm 34 and verse 4, it does not say some of my fears, it says all of my fears. I know we're imperfect. And as we see here, I think that Jesus is actually pointing out some of these individuals' imperfections. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You understand that Jesus is in your boat? It's interesting how many times the Bible has to talk about fear. In fact, if we go back to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is taking over the new leadership role that he's taking over, and God tells him earlier in chapter 1 to not have fear, and later on in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If God is in our boat, if Jesus is with us, what problems can we not take on? What problems can we not take on? If God is on our side, if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter if death comes and knocks on our door. It doesn't matter if disease comes and knocks on our door. It doesn't matter if adversity comes and knocks on our door. Heartache, struggle, disaster. The Christian with God. I've heard it said that God and one is the majority. And perhaps that's something that we forget from time to time. You know, you might not be in a storm right now, but I can guarantee you that there's another storm coming. It's just the nature of life. Are you ready for the next storm? Well, how can I get ready for the next storm? Make sure that Jesus is on your boat. He's not going to come the way that you would perhaps want Him to. He's going to come as He is. And once you have Him on your boat, you know what? Can't that eliminate a lot of our fears? He continues on in verse 41. He says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? These individuals have just saw something quite amazing, have they not? They have saw a storm of the worst possible storm in many ways, where they were fearing for multiple reasons. And then we go to peace. Do you understand that God can do that in your life? I think what's so unfortunate is many times throughout life we have self-inflicted storms. There are some storms that are out of our control, that come upon us, and, you know, we didn't have any control over it. But you know what? There's sometimes storms that we almost make for ourselves. You know, the Bible gives us this principle of sowing and reaping, and my question is, what are you sowing today? Are you sowing a storm for the future? Well, how do I sow a storm for the future when we don't do what the Bible says? When we deliberately see what the Bible says and we say, you know what, I'm not going to do it, are we not sowing the storm of the future? A storm that could possibly hit us and hurt us. What are we sowing today? Are we sowing good things or are we sowing bad things? I don't want storms to come, and some storms can be prevented. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he will also reap." Are we sowing storms because we're not even listening to what God has said? We've got to be careful throughout this life. But one thing that I realize, and one thing that I think that we need to take away, is when the storms of life come, do we want Jesus on our ship? Yes, we do. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." You know that Jesus loves you. He wants to be there on your ship with you as you go through the trials of life. I want Jesus to be with me when I die. It's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, God is preparing a place for us, John chapter 14. I want God to be with me when I cross over. In Psalm 23 and verse 4 it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When I cross over at the end of life, I want Jesus to be with me. So there's something to be said, that Jesus can make your sail through life have a little less stress, a little less anxiety, and a little bit more calm. Have you welcomed Jesus onto your boat? You need him desperately. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know where the next storm's coming from. I don't know if it's coming from behind. I don't know if it's coming from the left. I don't know if it's coming from the right. I don't know if it's coming right down the road. I want Jesus on my boat. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Keep Jesus on your boat, and certainly always ask him for help. If you're subject to a New Testament call, or you need the prayers of the church, anything that you need, please come as we stand and as we sing.